What's up, my fellow Googlers, and welcome to DevCast, a podcast series proudly organized by Developer Student Clubs Loyola from the Ateneo de Manila University, which features the stories of student leaders and tech professionals in the Google community. I am Paolo, a Management Information Systems major and the events lead of DSC Loyola.
And I'm Anthea Paolo here. I am Jeremy, a Management Information Systems major and Programs Head of DevCast. And for this episode today, we are your co-host. So for our fifth and final episode for this first semester, we are excited to have someone special with us here today. Can you guess who? Yeah, you guessed right. Sir Chad De La Cruz. He is a Developer Community Manager for Developer Student Clubs at Google and the co-founder of YYY Jobs, a startup company based in Cebu. So hi, Sir Chad. Welcome.
Jeremy, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great. Can you introduce yourself to everyone tuning in right now?
Yeah, sure. So hi, everybody. I'm Shad. I work with the developer relations team at Google. We're basically a team, working together with developer across the globe. And we're really working together with the developer communities, with the latest in technology as well. Basically the goal of the team is really how we can support our developers around the world who wants to become a better developers in their industry as well. So yeah, that's about me.
I like that. So we can't wait to hear your interesting story here with us. You're here with us in the present, but let's talk about the past. Awesome. From where it started. So to start things off, Sir Shad, where did you spend your childhood and how was your experience growing up there?
Actually, it's very interesting, guys. On my early days, I'm originally from Iloilo as well. So same as Paolo.
Represent.
Yeah, I was born there. But my family moved into Negros Occidental, which is, in Bacolod. And that's where my mom, originally came from. So growing up, we always move houses almost every year. If you check my card, probably you'll see like every year since I was in grade one, I moved schools as well because my parents move, again, they call us no permanent address. Mm. And we always move around. And of course, through that experience, I had no permanent friends as well. I always had to be mingled and meet new people and talk to them. And so it was a kind of interesting case for me because somehow I learned how to just adapt and make friends faster as well. And, along the way, I think the only time that it stopped was when I was in college. Since I was very young, I had my first computer at the age of 6 or 7. And around this time, it was a Windows 95 PC that my aunt from the US sent us. And again, guys, this is too Jurassic for you. Mm. Windows 95, come on. Like, imagine I had an 8 MB RAM, guys. 8 wow. MB RAM. Think about that. And it was crazy when you have those, the entire machine, the PC there, it never felt slow. Like, I would say you guys would feel like it's really slow because it was. But I mean, the time changed. But during the time, that was a really good already. I can play games. I already have a good, experience during that time. But one of the cool things that I started very young was trying to figure out how things work, and it always made me wonder. I remember deleting a file on the Windows folder, in the Windows folder, which is actually a System 32 file and that you shouldn't delete. And then that basically broke the computer, and my dad had to banish me for a couple of weeks.
Oh,
and
no.
Then, of course, after that, I now learned that those files are important. So I didn't touch it. I moved to other things now. I did my own reformatting, and stuff like that. trying to figure out how this computer works. Long story short, I moved directly to to a lot more interesting development side of the computer. But yeah, basically, my childhood was really we're not rich. I would say we're like middle class or something. My parents, can provide us with education, which is really good. But of course, because of their work as well, we were exposed and moving around frequently. And it was, again, for me, I would say it was a mix of a feeling, because again, I don't have that, strong childhood friends, best friends, like I probably you guys have feel. But overall, all these things can come to like a very interesting experience for me when I grow up. So
yeah, Sir Shad, I also relate to that as well. I remember when I was young, I lived in Malaysia when I was 4 to 6 years old. So I can relate to the fact that we don't really have any long-lasting childhood friends, in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. So, but of course, it's not really, an issue. Because again, they usually say the best years would be high school and college, I guess. But yeah, those are some of them we still remember. But yeah.
Thank you for sharing your childhood experience with us, sir. Now, I'm curious about this. What was your first experience in learning about technology? Like, for example, programming or design? And can you walk us through that moment?
Yeah, sure. So basically, I mentioned that I had the computer in a very young age. Yeah, so most parents probably would ask their kids not to touch it. Oh my, if I can remember clearly, my first game that gave me a huge interest was StarCraft. I don't know if you guys are familiar on StarCraft.
I'm familiar with the genre,
yeah. StarCraft, Red Alert 2, those are my games. Like 2000s, kids really loved all those games as well. But and again, that brought me to the curiosity of like how did they build this kind of stuff? How did they do it? Like, when you move this and I press this, it happens. It gives out an action or something. And I think I was around 8 or around 9 when I started learning about the internet and things online. And during that time, my mom, I would go to this internet shop, which is powered by a dial-up network. And it was an internet shop. Think about this. Computers are very slow and you need to connect in this dial-up network to connect to an internet, to send email, which is very, very interesting during the time. But
yeah, I don't think I reached that in my time.
You did? Yeah. it's very interesting. So, of course, a few years after that, the internet became a little bit faster. And I learned, but in our household, we didn't have the internet yet. So what I did was I have this software in my PC called Microsoft Front Page. And I was super curious about it. Like, how it works and things like that. I had a full suite of MS Office 2000. That was 2000, right? And I think it was year 2003 or 2004 when I created my first website. That means a very simple HTML. Actually, it's not HTML. It was HTM before. And the file name. And you have to... there's a really cool way to create navigation and connect the pages, and it was amazing. I learned a lot from that, and I think that was the first show of interest in computer programming. I learned HTM. I think I was around 12 years old when I had that encounter. And of course, moving forward, I learned Adobe released the web development software called Adobe Dreamweaver, and it was amazing. Yeah. It was a huge plus as well. I think if I'm not mistaken, Dreamweaver was originally part of a Macromedia company. So then, you know, Adobe bought it out, something like that. Yeah, very. It's our old history of companies buying each other. So, oh my god,
I'm nostalgic.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a Jurassic right now, guys. So. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Now that we know about what you learned back then, HTM, Adobe Dreamweaver. I don't think I tackled this when I was young. So wow. So would you say this influenced you to take information technology as a major? Where did you go for college?
Right. So basically, I took up... So here's an interesting part. Since I was very young, right, when I learned about the computer, I learned programming very young. At the age of 15, I created my... Whoa. My first social media, guys. That was a social network site, and it was called PinoyHigh.com. If you can look up the web archive, you can probably find it in 2012 or something. I launched it, very long time ago, 2008. Sorry, 2007, 2008, when I got the website. And it was a social network dedicated for all the teenagers in high school, where it was made out of PHP. During that time, I was really good at PHP. I was doing freelance web development. And one cool thing about that, I had about 500 people signing in, active users, daily active users.
Amazing.
And a majority of that users are coming from Middle East. High school student, Filipino high school student coming from Dubai. Which is very interesting. I don't know how come it got so popular in their campus.
Yeah, or their international school. Already.
Yeah.
It's like one whole batch, 500.
Right. And very interesting how they love it, because it was almost similar to the concept of Friendster. I bet you guys have heard about that as well.
Yeah.
Where you can add backgrounds and customize it. And, you know, the chat system there is pretty good already. So that was during 2007, 2008 when I built my site. So here's a problem there. The bandwidth increases significantly. The amount of people, the traffic coming in is high. And I don't have money to pay for all of those, bros. And it's hard. I was like struggling. I was asking my mom, my dad, to help me out on the fees and stuff like that. Sadly, it didn't came to the point where I had the right resources to have that, which I wasn't able to really prolong the system. And of course it went down, and of course the second time I tried to reboot it, traffic's gone. So that's a sad part right there. But yeah, when I was in high school, in my last year, I was caught up in a reality where I wanted to do something else, but at the same time, I want to do something else, but with the conditions and interests as well, I wanted to do like a different route than being part of the industry, computer IT industry. So during the time, I was really interested with planes and flying which I took out, which ended up me taking up a flying school course. And during the time I was there, we were doing the ground lessons, training. It was very interesting because it came to my, thought, why am I here? Do I really have to just fly planes the rest of my life? I mean, like flying people from one place to another. Come on, something like that just came to me. Not to degrade the industry of pilots, but
yeah, there's like different things for different people.
Right. Yeah. It was came to my, it just came to my time where I feel like, I think I can do something else. I feel like, how much how much impact can I give to the world, you know, if I will do something else? Because I know technology works differently, you know, and there's so many things that you can do and possibilities of creating something there. So, yeah, and what happened was I, you know, long story short, I gave up my flying school a couple of months after a year. I mean, after a year. And then I told my mom I want to take my computer science degree in a university in Bacolod, which is University of Negros Occidental Recoletos. It was the university that gave me scholarship. And it was, you know, I took that because, again, my mom was paying so much on my flying school and she hates me for, you know, not continuing it.
I mean, and, look at you now, right?
Yeah.
Mom?
So it's very interesting. Yeah. So, but of course, yeah, took up the scholarship, went for computer science, and that's it. That's what made me choose IT.
I really like what you said. How much impact can I give to the world? So I'm glad that you shared this stuff to us. We get to see a more personal side of you, and I appreciate that. So Sir Shad, I would like to know you more in a personal career. So currently you work as a Google developer. And your position seems to be really interesting. Can you tell us more about your job and what you do?
Sure. Yeah, so basically, I'm a community manager in the developer relations team. So what I mentioned earlier, Google is really big. and there's so many teams inside it.
Big is an understatement.
Yeah, huge then. Or
very big.
Massive there.
Colossal.
Yep. and you know, a small part of that, you know, is the developer relations team. And if you realize that, you know, it's a tech company where a lot of developers are really, you know, really working with the technologies that Google provide as well. And, you know, I would really think this is very interesting because, you know, a lot of startups and companies around the world are, you know, venturing to similar technologies as these big giants, right? The FAANG companies. And for me, the way I see it is rather than compete with them with a new technology or like similar new technology, why don't you just, you know, join or like, I mean, why don't you just hang in there? I mean, like support it, or probably seat at the right of these giants. I mean, go with these giants by probably working with them, or with bringing in using their services and technologies as well. So, in order for you to also somehow grow together with them. So, you know, just want to share that as part of the community, the developer relations team, we basically help developers around the world to be able to achieve the goal of becoming better developers. And one of the greatest things that we've seen by having this is how we brought in skill development and also opportunities for local developers to get recognized and giving them highlights and feature them and giving them, you know, those voices that impact, that bring in their local communities as well. Especially, you know, one example is the team in, for example, in Singapore, where they created where they transformed their university into a virtual campus during the start of the pandemic. And how
interesting.
And how it works is that they basically convert their campus virtually, where allow you know, people from around you know, Singapore to actually have the experience to visit the campus before they enroll, before they go there. So the team behind it is actually the DSE team from one of the university there. And ways that we see, like, you know, that simple thing that they can do, or, you know, again, I would say it's a massive work as well, really brought in how developers can really, provide this experience to make people's lives easier, or giving a new opportunities for people to see technology in action. And again, we can really see a lot of this opportunities coming to life as well. So yeah, basically day to day, I would also say see as a community manager, I talk to a lot of people and a lot of developers as well. So and really building that experience with them, and how they can, you know, how they can level up their skills, how they can build their network, how they can, you know, grow and also create an impact on their communities as well. So yeah.
I like that philosophy. Rather than compete with similar technology, why not support it? Do you think constantly changing schools back then when you were young, do you think it changed the way you interact with people nowadays, especially in your job? Because you talk to a lot of developers and a lot of students.
Well, I would say somehow, I'm not sure actually, it gave me more opportunities how to approach people in a way that they are different as well. You know, everybody's unique in each way. So the approach,
exactly, yeah, like
part
that.
Where, you know, you have to do so. Yeah, I guess it somehow helped me, like, you know, I can easily approach people than be shy and, you know, and wait for someone to introduce. So those kind of things as well.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that before we started this podcast, and it was really fun talking to you backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so my next question for you is, like, you know, working at such a company is like Google, you know, such a dream of mine, including many people like our listeners out there. So can you tell me, how did your journey in Google start?
Sure. In 2013, so there was a program called Google Student Ambassador Program. So it's almost similar to the DSC one, but the difference is that we are not really meant to do like a community or a chapter in their campus. It's more of like a representative, more of you got selected, and then we also organize events and activities on our campus, but we don't really do a lot of it actively compared to the DSC. So the impact is not as much as, you know, how you guys are doing it right now. But one of the cool things that really brought me, that kind of experience was seeing there's this industry, these big companies basically exist in the world. And again, one of the ways that brought me, like, you know, this is, you know, there's, they have so much. They have so much. I mean, the technology and the industry that they have, and the contribution that they make in the world is super massive. Google itself. And if you look at in a person in the industry, or like an IT student perspective, this is like a company that you really want to, you know, to be. And it's like, again, it brings you to have this thought that you have, wow, this Google is so big, and the opportunity of getting a job there would be probably one in a million, right? And it's so hard to even think like you get a job there.
Yeah,
but not to discourage you guys. Again, it was also a similar case where I was just thinking there. I was like, huh, do I have a chance to even get to Google? But anyway, so basically my career was really brought in when I started engaging with this kind of program, exposing myself to tech events, exposing my events to people with similar interests, those you know, people who are involved. Again, I think I would say the Google developer communities were one of the biggest factor that really brought me to this new level of understanding of how the tech industry works, and gave me more ways to talk about technology, and also and brought me to you know, how technology can be used to improve people's lives and, you know, create those simple impact, or, you know, even small or big impacts in the local and global community as well. So yeah, so again, I would say it really gave me that kind of opportunity when I started engaging with you know, with the communities as well.
Okay, thank you for that. Can you walk through us the moment that you underwent the application process? How was the application process for you?
So basically, after I graduated in college, I moved to Cebu, where I really started my career. And during the time when I visited Cebu, I had this kind of very interesting feeling about the city. You know, like Cebu is not so big as Manila, but yeah, it's not as you know, it's not as developed as Manila as well, and it's a city that trying to figure out what it wants or what it wants to be in the next couple of years. And that was somehow super relatable to me. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out what exactly I want to do in the IT industry, what kind of you know, what kind of job or like what kind of role do I want to be in that I can contribute and also you know, really have that kind of experience to showcase. I know when I graduated, I had several good you know, skills, and also was already a web developer during that time. But when I went to Cebu, I had a different interesting case. I arrived there and, you know, I realized the city is a massive, about 5 or 6 million people living there, mostly IT jobs, about 40% of the, more or less 20 to 40% are all in the IT, BPO, business processing industry, right? Oh, and yes. A lot of companies are outsourcing, you know, their you know, businesses in Cebu. And again, this is a city that is, you know, really good. It's earning a lot of money. It's also at the same time trying to figure out which exact industry they want to focus on. And at the same time, there's so many small to medium enterprises. So yeah, so again, I was really interested in the city as much as I was trying to figure out what I want to do. And I applied to so many companies there as well, but I had a different interest as well. So what happened was I called my friends in Bacolod and then told them that, hey, yeah, and I had this crazy idea about an ad tech technology where we can probably build this up in the city. Again, there's so many people living here, the market can be captive. You know, again, long story short, I did a startup. I raised some couple of thousands of dollars of money. Whoa. and of course we did by getting it from family and friends. We went to an angel investment process as well. We joined the hackathons and startup weekend events, and that brought me to the tech communities and industry in Cebu, where it was very new. Not a lot of communities happening there. There's a lot of tech, right, happening, BPO. There are, you know, there's growth coming in, but not a lot of avenue for people to be in. And then I was there in 2014, I think, and in 2015, I was like emailed by one of the Google community managers as well. and told me if I want to volunteer as one of organizers or community lead for Cebu for their GDG communities as well. So basically, GDGs are independent community in each cities, and the goal is for us to gather developers and talk about technology as well. And that experience really brought me to this new frontier of meeting people. Very interesting, because I organized my first event. It was a very interesting event. It was an I/O, Google I/O extended event. So that means it's like a smaller version of the big annual conference of Google, which is the I/O, right? And the goal is to talk about all the things that have been discussed there, and having our local speakers and do code labs and hackathons and workshops there as well. So it was a whole day event, and one of the coolest things that I did on my first event was getting an ice cream machine. Guys, when was the last time you joined a tech event with an ice cream machine?
Yeah, I've never been to an event with an ice cream machine,
Right. Same.
Yeah. I want that.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Everybody was super happy. There were around 50 participants on my first event. Wow. And I was super happy already. And it was very interesting. 50 people joined. We took really nice photos. And then I thought that was the end, right? And then, the community manager from Google messaged me again. If I want to do the annual tech conference called DevFest. Have you guys heard about DevFest?
I heard of it.
Cool. Yeah, so it's a, it's a big, it's a really a gathering of developers. It's a big conference. And during the time, again, I'm pretty much new to learning this. And Cebu is not my original city, right? I barely know a lot of people here. But that was really great time for me to network as well. So I planned a lot. I planned a lot about DevFest and very interesting. I have two other folks from Bacolod as well who works in Cebu, and I took them as part of the core team. I have a 3-member team working together on this event.
Okay. And
and we were expecting for our DevFest, since it's a large gathering, we want to have 300 people. 300 people. And, on the event, only 100 people showed up. We prepared 300, food for everyone. And it was a heartbreaking experience for me. And seeing that, all this food waste that we did, and there's not much of impact that we did. We failed on targeting our goals. So what happened? And that was a feeling for me that, and I told the folks that, guys, I think we should do better. We should do better next time. So, a few months later, I told the team, I have, we are three, right? I posted a post on the Facebook saying, hey guys, do you want to join as a volunteer community member, help us build Cebu Tech in the community? And that was a post, and we had so many people applying and asking if they can be part of the organizing team. And the three of us, the main core members, grew into about 14. It was a large group, and I think we actually even went to 16 to 18 folks already by then, after a couple of years as well. So we did Women Tech Maker events where focus on Filipinas developers as well, Filipino developer who are women, and really bringing them to the industry, how they can really build their skills as well. And of course, we had our I/O extended again. Remember how many attendees did I have last year on that?
Around
50.
50,
no,
yeah.
50. The 50 with the ice cream machine, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And a year on that, and a year after that, we had about 500 attendees.
Wow.
It was a 10x growth. And then that was when we realized, man, there's a huge demand for developer conference or, you know, developer gatherings, and we want to bring that in Cebu. We want to do that. Let's create small groups. Let's create programs that would enrich more of our local developers as well. And we started seeing stories. We've started seeing great feedback from the community. They want more of this. And of course, the annual conference, which is DevFest, was one of the greatest experience that I had, a learning experience as well, where I realized we kind of grow too fast, right? We were growing too fast. And on the event, right, we had about 1,000+ attendees coming in, which is about a year ago, we were only 100. I was super sad that there were only around 100 folks attended that. And now we have 1,000, more 10x problem, I would say, that we realized too, the growth of the developer community in Cebu was massive.
And what can happen in a year?
And during the time, I was overwhelmed. That's a word. I was super overwhelmed by, you know, the things that are happening there. And I was super happy, but at the same time, I was super, super tired. Super, super tired. Because I felt like I was doing a lot of things. And the same time, like, I feel like I was given this responsibility alone. And that's actually not true, because I had a 16-member core team. And after the event, it was a November event. I went on a 1.5-month hiatus, and around January 1st or 2nd week, I came to meet the team, the co-organizing team, and told them, guys, let's do better. Because I don't think, we did really great event. We received so much feedback. Everybody's super happy about that event. But I feel like I was too tired. So that's when I realized I missed how to delegate properly. And, you know, what happened was awesome. I started dividing the team in different departments, which allowed the delegation of building their own teams as well by creating leads of each part. And that became the community better as well. So, again, that kind of a community model really works now, especially it's applied, the DSEs as well. But long story short, I think after a month of that, me meeting the team, Google reached out to me that they want to visit Cebu. The entire team of developer relations team wants to visit Cebu. And I wondered, like, why they didn't do it in Manila. And they said that we have never seen a massive growth in a city before like yours, and we want to be there. And that was giving me chills, and I was super shocked. And we organized the biggest developer conference ever happened in Cebu. It was about almost 2,000 folks attending, with all these Google speakers coming from around Southeast Asia. We had speakers from Korea, from Singapore, from I think Vietnam. And it's amazing. We have someone from the US as well. And there are about 8 of them coming in Cebu talking about all this technology, all updates from Google as well, which is amazing. We had so much press, and people were talking about the Google community already. And, you know, during that time, we were talking about impact, right? Amount of impact that is happening there was massive in just a couple of, years. And the efforts that brought in by the community as well, and the interest of the community coming, getting their feedback and learning and doing learning sessions. We did study jam events as well. We did sessions which are really amazing. All of these are brought in because of the experience of the community. And, you know, to connect it to the question that you had, like, how was I able to connect with Google? Was because of this huge experience, really showed, you know, a lot of this really growing, and skills, really brought a lot of skills from me to be able to achieve, together with the community as well, what we have done here in Cebu. And I think, it's somehow almost similar to what you know, what a growth or like a program like DSE can as well. But anyway, yeah, so I would say, going back to your question, I think it was on our 5th anniversary of 10th year, sorry, 10th year anniversary of GDG Cebu, where we had a massive event as well, one of our events there. I think a couple of months after that, I got an email from the DevRel team, as well, that there's a new program being launched in Southeast Asia, and and if I want to apply for it. So I said, yeah, sure, I think that would be a really great opportunity. But during this time, I was part of a startup called YYY Jobs, where my role was mostly on business development, but at the same time, growth hacking. I think that was like really my specialty right there. And we're launching. So my role was really launching the app, since it's really focused on the blue-collared market. And we're doing this opportunity where we want to connect local skilled workers with the industries and the companies around the cities. So we, I was really focused on launching it in Vietnam, in India, in Africa, and several other parts of the country as well, in Philippines, Indonesia as well. So these are a couple of the countries that I was really working on and launching this application. And when I applied for Google, most of the skills that I was sharing, somehow similar to how we are planning to do the DSE program as well. So there was a match of the skill set, that was required to do the job. And somehow I would say that allowed me to, probably showed a little bit of an edge, both having the experience in the community and having that experience with my, work. And that's it. And that allowed me to go through, I think, 4 or 5 interviews in total. Mostly they have 4 to 5. Mostly are some are technical, some more about experience, job experiences. There were questions as well on scenario based. If this happened, like, what would you do? If X, Y, Z. So that, you have your different kinds of situational answers as well. So, yeah, I think I gave you too long answer.
Yeah, it was very insightful. Yeah. It was like, what do you call this? We get to see how you're able to know your audience, mainly Cebu, how you found opportunity towards it. And you really wanted to, hey, we can make an opportunity here. Let's create a community. And you really did. You found what makes this event magical. It's not only technology, it's not only that, but it's the community, how you guys like interact with one another. That was really amazing. And we also found through your you get to see scalability as well. Like, you weren't prepared, like you went through some mistakes, but then you use that to motivate yourself to have now 1,000 people in your event, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And to build on that, I'm sure a number of our listeners right now are familiar with or have seen the Google headquarters in Silicon Valley, San Francisco, either on social media or in movies. So personally, the first time I saw the campus was when I watched the movie called The Intern, starring Owen Wilson. And I was really fascinated with the campus when they featured it. And I admit that it's really a dream workplace because it looks like a playground for professionals. Free food, cozy couches, and free bikes anywhere. So, have you been there?
Yeah. So one of the greatest perks of being a community lead, GDG organizer was they bring you to Google Campus. Like they bring you an opportunity to join the annual conference, which is I.O. And in 2017, I was the one that was going to be part of the team from the Philippines to go to Google headquarters, and you know, luckily I also got my US visa, because again, you know, it's not easy to just go there without really invitation or, you know, without purpose. So yeah, and I think during the time when I went there, I was super fascinated by the feeling of, you know, this place that you've been talking about for many, many years, the dream place for any tech person, finally getting this chance to be here. The moment I stepped in, you know, in San Francisco, it was super cold. It was super massive cold, around 8, probably it was an 8 degree. And very interesting how the feeling of silicon, we can feel it already.
Yeah, you can't really experience that coldness in the Philippines, right?
Yeah, no. it was pretty cool. They call it the Silicon Valley because, you know, of all the chipsets that was built over there, I believe, and the companies as well that around there. But I think one of the coolest thing that I would say when I arrived at the Google headquarters was it was too big. You get it? Like, it was a little bit too big. Like, this is what I meant by big is that there's, imagine Ateneo, right?
Yeah.
All of your classes are like, I mean, your buildings are separated, right?
Yeah.
Far away each other. It's the same with Google. You need a car to be inside the campus. You need it.
Oh my gosh.
You cannot walk. That's why you have bikes everywhere, like the G bikes everywhere, because you have to, it will take some time. When I was there, I had to, if I want to go around, I had to take the bike everywhere, you know, and you can leave it anywhere as well if you want, which is pretty cool. But I mean, it's so far with each other. Like, you know, imagine probably one building is in, you know, the main front gate, and also the next building is near the dorm area in Ateneo. Yeah. So that's like very far when you, you know, walk as well.
Yeah, how do you keep track of your bikes? Like when you leave it,
they don't care. Really? Like they just leave it anywhere, and then whenever the maintenance folks can see it, they'll just pick it up. So, it's inside the campus. Yeah, the campus is very big. I'm not sure how big is it. But it's very big where, you know, there's so many buildings as well. There are also other Google buildings within the area. So Mountain View is where the main HQ is, like, you know, the main building that you guys see if you Google it, like Google Flex, right? That's in Mountain View, California. There are some based in Palo Alto, in Sunnyvale, in Menlo Park, I think. And I think there are several offices of Google anywhere around that area. But the biggest is in Mountain View, and they have this really huge amphitheater next to it, in 1600 amphitheater. And it's a massive conference hall, and amazing how it can suit about 10,000 people there. So that's where the Google conferences usually happen as well. I think that's the experience of being there is surreal. Like, you know, you would think like, am I really here?
Yeah.
I watch this in movies. Like. Yeah, so I've been there several times now. The first one was that, the event. The second was when we had a International Leaders Conference in San Francisco, where me and my wife also visited the campus after in Mountain View. So, and then I think several as well of getting to the Google Store. So, yeah, I think those are some of my experiences as well.
While I was listening to you narrating your experience in Google Campus, like, my imagination really went wild. So, to build on that, there's something peculiar about the culture in your company, to the point that it has its own term. Even in terms of recruitment, I read on the internet that the company looks for quote-unquote googly individuals. And now that I'm actually talking to a professional like you who has been immersed in it, I'd like to ask exactly, what's the googly culture and what makes it so special?
I like that. I like this question. Googliness. It's very... one of the most very interesting factor when, you know, they hire people. I think, you know, usually I would say it that when you refer to the term googliness, it means you're not just being cool, but you have to be really, really cool. At the same time, you're out of the norm, I would say. Out of the box, right? That thinker. And I think one of the biggest factors is how would you challenge yourself to be better every time. And at the same time, again, the word usually very common to all Googlers is usually they will say awesome. You have to be awesome and always be innovative as well, or disruptive and things like that. Again, googly can refer to a lot of terms, but it's a personality where that makes you set apart from most of people. I think that kind of a term. But again, I think for the words that I mentioned would probably most likely relate to that, and it really shows the culture of the company as well to you, and how you are as a person as well. So googly, there you go.
Would you say that other companies should have its own form of a googly culture?
Yeah, of course. I think everybody has a different kind of a googly personality, the exciting part as well, of the googly culture is being able to be a good problem solver. You know, how would you solve some of this business related problems, or how would you deliver a certain task not in a direct way, but more in a creative non-mediocre way, and again, it also really shows like how you are as a person, a likable character as well, I would say. And a lot of companies, not just Google, have this kind of culture. I would say the FANGs, right? The FANG companies as well, I believe they also have similar culture.
And now that you've clearly described what makes this type of culture unique and special, can you share with us how you apply the concept of googliness or being googly in your personal life?
Yeah, of course. I think, again, as I mentioned earlier, there are different cases, like, that you can really show how to be googly, you know, in your daily approach in life. Like, you know, rather than dealing with when you're dealing with problems, rather than when you think about a problem, you think about it as a challenge that you can do something about it. Like, you know, instead of feeling the failure, why don't you take it as a lesson for you to learn and to be better next time?
I like that, yeah.
You know, again, these are some of the things that you can really put in your in and seeing things in different perspective. The world is, again, the world will go on and go on in the next generations. But you know, in your personal way, how do you see it? That creates your, you know, how would your current life time contributes to the world, like the impact that you can actually produce, you know, in your daily life, and does it provide value? Does it provide impact? Does it, you know, help people around you? And you know, if you have that kind of mindset and personality, it will really change the atmosphere, and it makes you truly remarkable person. So, yeah.
Wow, that was really inspiring. And it seems that you've had a meaningful journey at Google so far. Now, what I want to know is, can you share with us what is your greatest achievement at work so far? Mm-hmm. Which is something that you're proud of.
This can be a project or, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things is really launching the DSE program. You know, getting the part where, you know, imagine when I launch it, you know, you launch a program that people or students doesn't know, doesn't heard of, or never been done before, is usually hard. And most of the universities as well, like, how would you get the word out? How would you, you know, it's not always that you get the best of your, you know, opportunity to everybody, like that they can see it. So building that kind of student network, you know, being part of the program lead leadership was one of the biggest factor that I realized, like, oh wow, there's so many universities around the region, you know, Southeast Asia. And so many potentials, student leaders and that have great opportunities to excel, you know, and by building and providing this platform for students, it allows them to level up their network, right? To level up their skills, level up their, you know, career opportunities in the future. And I believe that was one of the greatest factor, you know, I would, I'm always proud of, like, the building of the communities around Southeast Asia and the network friends. Imagine people, you know, friends from Pakistan meeting friends, you know, students from Philippines. That never happened before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there would be, but rare cases. The network of DSE is just blending in where, you know, you guys can meet student DSE community leaders as well in Singapore, in Vietnam. So if you ask me, if you're visiting Vietnam, do you know anybody in Vietnam? You can just check out the DSE network and you have a friend there now. Can build a network there. And I think that's really remarkable of having that kind of a student network opportunity as well. I think the second would be mindset. I would say the automation. I'm a really fan of automation. I do my own scripting. I do code. I do my own code. And it really allowed me to improve some of the processes inside our team. And also help them with, you know, making their life easier, effectively and efficiently. So, and also teaching them how to do it. And yeah, there are several more, but I might not be able to disclose it with you guys. So,
okay, some confidential info. We get that.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of awesome things that I would say, you know, you can really contribute when you are, you know, in any company. You know, what you can do best to improve, you know, the simple processes, how you can give insights, ideas. And of course, one of the cool things is the upcoming Global Solution Challenge in 2021 will be a different approach as well. We're always excited that for that as well. Yeah, I really, yeah, awesome.
Thank you for sharing that to us. You know, I may be a newcomer to DSE in general, but I really learned a lot in my stay here. And as a member of one of chapters of DSE, specifically Loyola, I would like to know, how do you envision DSE Philippines to be in the next 5 to 10 years?
Wow. That's a good question, Jeremy. Well, for me, the vision stays as where we want to make DSE as the premier tech student to communities or chapters in universities, and where it bridges the gap of learning and practice, where, you know, we really aim to fill in, you know, the gap of the skill development rather than, you know, just theory, and allowing both to be exercise or probably, you know, yeah, so in DSE, so making DSE as a platform for students to really develop those skills, you know, not just technical skills, they can learn, you know, the essential life skills, communication skills as well, and really in the network of students, allowing it to be, you know, to grow. And yeah, and again, I, as I mentioned, we want to make DSE as a premier tech student tech communities for all who are, you know, doing or pursuing field in IT.
Yeah, that makes me really excited to be in DSC, and I'm looking forward to the years to come. So as we end our episode, we'd want our listeners to be able to feel inspired and empowered to pursue a career in tech, regardless of their skill level as of the moment. So what are some tips or advice you would want to give our listeners who want to work in their dream company someday?
Cool. Yeah, I think one of the coolest thing that I shared earlier with my story was, you know, all the factors being googly and all are part of, you know, what you can achieve or what you can do as well in your career or in your life. Always remember that you are the driver of your future. Whatever you do, whatever you decide right now, will really create, you know, that reaction for your future. This process basically will not only allow you to achieve your, you know, high level goals, your dreams, but also it will find your purpose and happiness, and, you know, that makes life life. And always, we have to always go back to, you know, the source, and you know, again, you can always seek guidance from, you know, from God, from your family, from your friends, from, you know, from mentors to really help you out, you know, in this journey. And it's always important to have that kind of opportunity as well, and be able to really engage with, you know, other people, you know, with the community, allowing yourself to be, to be, you know, to be of help of to someone, to a group, would really allow you to develop those skills as well, and allow you to, you know, learn from one another. And again, these are some of the experiences that I had that I was sharing today. And every moment of, you know, your personal journey, whether it's good or bad, you know, you don't have to feel bad about it. You know, you will fail. People fail. And all you have to do is stand up and be better next time. I guess you guys noticed that I keep on saying, you know, if I fail, I would just say I'll do better next time. know, we'll do better next time. And it has been my mantra for a long time. And you know, again, you guys are young, very young. Some folks will call you young, wild, and free. Yeah, you have the time and energy to do anything you want to do. There's so many things that you can achieve here. And again, the future is always bright for all of you. And you can do anything as long as you believe in it. All right. And of course, for whatever career, whatever dream that you have, make it as your North Star. Make it as a moonshot and do something about it. You know, decide that you want to be the best version of yourself and achieve the goals that you want. And it will really, really gives you a lot of, you know, motivation as well. Again, the road will never be a straight line. It will always be a zigzag. And you'll have to really go through and challenge yourself to continue and really go and move forward. I shared my story, and basically it was never a straight towards this company, you know, the big G. and it's always you know, it's always a good way to reflect back as well. But you know, I mean, a lot of people have different experiences, and you know, always find, you know, people who have this kind of experiences, and also probably listen to their stories, and you know, and see what kind of learning or what kind of challenges that they had that you can apply in your current situation, so you can also you know, do it better as well. So yeah, get excited for the future, guys. And you know, it's always fun to look forward and look back at the same time, and you know, see the growth, see the scale of your life, and you'll always you know, enjoy each part of it as well. So stay awesome, and of course enjoy.
Damn, Sir Shad, my parents didn't sign my reply slip for this field trip. Oh, what a great way to end our podcast.
Awesome.
I can really see how you were able to bring DSE in the Philippines. I really like how you view things and your vision for the future. So we would like to thank you, Sir Shad, for sharing your valuable time and your inspiring story here with us today. More power to you and in the future, and your team as well in Google Developers.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Before we sign off, I'd like to give a message for the people behind the scenes of this podcast. As the event's lead of DevCast, I would like to extend my love and gratitude to my team, the program's heads, Andy Kosho and Jeremy Canlas, the logistics head, Mark Yao, Chief Communications Officer, Siege Atienza, Promotions Lead, Miguel Oigonco, Creatives Lead, Frances Ong, Chief Operations Officer, Audrey Picar, Chief Executive Officer, Harvey Season, and finally, Jet Sia. Our DSC Lead and Chief Finance and Externals Officer, I'm grateful for all of you for making this podcast possible and for allowing me to grow as a person through this project. To our listeners, we have so much in store for the second semester here at DSC Loyola, so stay tuned. See you again soon!